In your bulletins, the order of service has changed just a little bit, so just so you know that we're not right at the end. Just before I get started, I was up in Sunday school class with the youth, and we were talking stuff, and we kind of came down a little bit late, and as I walked through the door, I go, man, there are a lot of people in here today. I'm excited to see you all. Thanks for being here. Let's dig in and see where we go with this. There was a school teacher. Her name was Dottie Gadient, and she decided that she was going to travel across America to see the sites that she'd been teaching about for the past 13 years. She was traveling in alone in a truck. She was pulling a camper, and she launched out on her adventure. And one afternoon, she was rounding a curve on I-5 near Sacramento in rush hour traffic when her water pump on her truck blew. And in spite of the traffic jam that she caused, no one seemed interested in helping her. Leaning up against the trailer, she prayed, Lord, please send me an angel, preferably one with mechanical experience. Within 4 minutes, there was this huge Harley that drove up, and it was ridden by an enormous man who was sporting long black hair. He had a beard, and his arms were tattooed, and right now I just think of Frankie. With an incredible air of confidence, he jumped off his motorcycle, and he went to work on her vehicle without really even noticing Dottie at all. Within another few minutes, he flagged down a larger truck, attached a tow chain to the disabled Chevy, and whipped the entire 56-foot rig, the truck and the trailer, around the corner off the streets. Then he continued to work on the lady's water pump. The intimidated school teacher, she was too dumbfounded to talk, especially when she read the words that were on the back of his leather jacket that read, Hell's Angels. As he finished the task, she finally got up the courage to say, thank you. Noticing her amazement at this whole ordeal, he looked her straight in the eyes and said, don't judge a book by its cover. With that, he smiled. He closed the hood of her truck. He straddled his hog, and with the wave, he was gone about as fast as he had appeared. Now, we all do that, don't we? We judge books by their covers. We make judgments about people without really knowing much about them. You know, we look at what they're wearing, look at their hair. Are they skinny? Are they fat? Are they tall? Are they short? What do they do for a living? Maybe where do they live? Have you ever been unjustly sized up by another person? Or maybe because of what you had done in your past, you found people unwilling to accept you? Today, as we continue our series in Luke, we're going to begin chapter 19, looking at verses 1 through 10. In a message that is titled, To Seek and Save, and this is Jesus' interaction with a man named Zacchaeus. You can follow along in your Bibles if you want. The verses will be up here for you. And our scripture, it reads like this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was called a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. In Luke, we learn of a man who wished for this same thing. And you may remember from last week, we looked at Jesus as he's beginning to enter Jericho. And he has this interaction with a blind man named Bartimaeus. And he asks Bartimaeus what he wants, and Bartimaeus says he wants to see. So Jesus helps him to see and heals him. And Bartimaeus actually throws everything aside and continued to follow Jesus. Well, today we look at Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, he is a man who is not well liked or accepted in Jericho. You see, he had a very bad reputation. A reputation in which he had earned, and that was as a tax collector. And nobody likes paying taxes. And we don't like the ones who go and collect the taxes. But Zacchaeus, he is no ordinary tax collector. He was the head or the chief tax collector in that area. Tax collectors, they are regarded as the worst kind of sinners. They were considered the scum of the earth. They are liars and they're cheaters. Unworthy to be called sons of Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish people. The Jews had some very valid reasons for this attitude. You see, Rome had military control over Israel, and they used the Jewish people to collect taxes. This solved some of their enforcement problems. To be a tax collector, one had to bid for that position. Much like you would go to an auction with the highest bidder getting the job. In order for him to regain his investment, this person would have to inflate the tax a little bit. And this gained them the reputation for being notoriously unscrupulous. They also became quite wealthy at the expense of their fellow countrymen. Tax collectors, they were collecting taxes for a foreign power. By this activity, they were indirectly supporting Israel's occupation. Now, because tax collectors worked with Gentiles, they were considered unclean. No religious Jew would associate with them whatsoever. Tax collectors, they were deemed as traitors to their community. You see that right there? That's the kind of man that Zacchaeus was. He had chosen a way of life that completely separated him from his fellow countrymen. Listen to this story. One day there was a teacher, and she had intercepted a note, and it said, "Everyone who hates Bob, sign here." By now, the note, which was on its way to Bob, it had been signed by everybody in his fourth grade class. Bob not only had no friends, but he was the object of intense loathing. But Bob showed no obvious distress at being disliked. His teacher, in an effort to find out something of Bob's deeper feelings, asked him a series of questions about how he behaves in some hypothetical situations. Bob answered each and every question with, "I don't know." His teacher thought that he was merely being uncooperative until she finally asked him how he felt when he was playing with a friend. Bob looked up at her with a tear in his eyes and he said, "I don't know. I don't have any friends." You see, despite being hated by men, Zacchaeus, he was a man who was looking for a real friend. So just prior to Jesus entering Jericho, some of you may remember this from a few weeks ago, he has told his disciples how difficult it is for a rich man to enter heaven. He told them that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the people, they saw Zacchaeus, his wealth, but they did not see his spiritual bankruptcy. He was a man who was rejected by all, and he was desperately lonely. He had gotten caught up in this deceptive power of success and wealth. How many people do you know who seem to have everything by the world's standards, and yet they don't have real happiness? See, many are looking for this inner peace and this sincere acceptance, where who you are is more important than what you have or what you do. So was Zacchaeus. He was searching for that. But you know that Jesus was also a man who had a reputation? He had a reputation for being a friend of sinners. Even Matthew, one of Jesus' own disciples, was a former tax collector. Jesus was not well liked by the in crowd because he didn't follow their customs of conduct, didn't do the things the way they wanted him to. He was more interested in doing the right thing than in doing the thing right. And that burned them. That got under their skin. But somehow Jesus' reputation must have perked Zacchaeus' curiosity. He must have wondered if the things that he had been hearing about Jesus were true. And so he decided to go and to find out for himself. And as Zacchaeus entered the city that day, he must have wondered, how are people going to treat me today? I wonder what's going to happen to me. And by now, there is this large crowd that is gathering to meet Jesus. Would anyone even notice Zacchaeus? You see, the scripture tells us he was a short man. It was not his fault that he could not see over the crowd. And so he attempted to kind of squeeze his way through, to work his way through there. And I'm sure that as he approached, some of the people in the crowd, they saw him coming, and they told the others about it. Here comes that tax collector Zacchaeus. Don't let him in. Many would take the opportunity to nudge him or maybe kick him or push him around a little bit. But you see, he was not going to let anyone keep him away from finding a new life. Now, the language that is used in verse 3, it implies this continual effort on Zacchaeus' part to try to get through the crowd in order to meet Jesus. You see, he's determined. In his desperation, he runs ahead of the crowd. He climbs a tree that's going to give him a better view of Jesus, a good vantage point. See, Zacchaeus, he is truly looking for something that will fill the emptiness in his life. And by now, the crowd that is gathered, that is following Jesus, they're asking themselves, whose house is Jesus going to spend the night? Which one of our leading citizens will be honored? But notice what happens in the story. Jesus walks past the religious leaders. He walks right past the leading citizens of the community. And he walks up to a little man who has climbed up in a tree. Jesus could have very easily have pretended that he didn't even see Zacchaeus up there. He could have just walked on by. Or he could have even crossed the street and avoided the situation altogether. You see, although Zacchaeus was a renegade in the eyes of his people, he was a precious lost sinner in the eyes of Jesus. Jesus, he looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree, and he loved him just the way he was. Now, in very cordial tones, as if they had been friends for many years, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Come down, I'm going to stay at your house today." A man who was rejected by all has found acceptance in Christ. Now notice how the people respond. They begin to mutter and they complain. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. The Pharisees, they had a saying back then. There is joy before God when one of those who provoke him perish from the world. You see, these religious leaders, these Pharisees, they had no time for sinners. The Bible, it says that Jesus has a different attitude toward sinners. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus says he has not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is actively looking for those who need him the most. Now, you may remember the beginning of this year, we started Luke chapter 15, in which there are three parables in which Jesus used to convey his feelings toward mankind. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. All three of those parables have a common theme in them, and that is rejoicing in what was once lost that is now found. Now, lost in this text, it does not mean that someone is damned or someone is doomed, but simply in the wrong place. A thing is lost when it is gotten out of its own place and it happens to be in the wrong place. And when we find such a thing, we kind of return it back to the place in which it ought to be. A person is simply lost when they have wandered away from God. Jesus, He did not come on a search and destroy mission. His mission, as verse 10 put it, is to seek and to save the lost. See, God rejoices like a parent finding a missing child whenever we return to His loving, waiting arms. One evening, there was a woman, and she was driving home when she noticed a huge truck that was following behind her a little too close. So she stepped on the gas just a little bit to try to gain some distance between her and the truck. But as she sped up, so did the truck. The faster she drove, the faster the truck went. And now, scared, she exited the freeway. But the truck was still pursuing her. The woman then turned up a main street in order to try to lose her pursuer in the traffic. But the truck actually ran a red light and continued the chase. Reaching the point of near panic, the woman whipped her car into a service station and she jumped out of her vehicle screaming for help as she ran away. The trucker, he sprang from his truck and he ran to the woman's car. He yanked the back door open and he pulled somebody from behind the car, from the back seat of the car that had been hiding back there. You see, the woman, she was running from the wrong person. From his high vantage point, this trucker had spotted a would-be attacker in the back of the woman's car. And his chase was not his effort to harm her, but to save her, even at the risk of his own safety. You see, Jesus, He eagerly seeks us. His desire is to rescue us from the hidden dangers of sin. Now, Jesus' disciples were so amazed when He called Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. See, that was a title of honor and acceptance, especially when they recalled Jesus' comments earlier to them when He told them how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. You see, they had forgotten Jesus also said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." God loves you more than you can ever comprehend, more than you could ever understand. God's love is like that of a parent for its child. About 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, James Lawson of Running Springs, California, he left home for a new job interview. About an hour later, his 36-year-old wife, Patsy, left for her fifth grade teaching class down the mountain with her two children, 5-year-old Susan and 2-year-old Jerry. Unfortunately, they never got that far. 8.5 hours later, Jim found his wife and daughter dead in their wrecked car upside down in a cold mountain stream. His 2-year-old son was just barely alive in the 48-degree water. When he heard screaming, he scrambled down the cliff to what he thought were the cries of his wife. Instead, he found her dead, holding his beloved son afloat. She had finally died, locked in that position, giving self-sacrificing love, holding the baby up so that he could breathe. You see, she died so that another person might live. You see, that story right there, that is the very essence of God's love. He willingly died on a cross so that we might live, each and every one of us. Whatever you do, don't let anyone keep you from experiencing God's complete and total acceptance of you. The question is, how will you respond to Christ's command to come? You see, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The question is, has Jesus found you? Jesus also makes a difference in our lives. If you look at the story with Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus left everything to follow Jesus. Our story today tells us that Zacchaeus, he gave away half of everything he owned, and he pledged that if he had cheated somebody, he would pay them back. So as the worship team comes and lead us in a time, of worship. Are you lost? By lost, I don't mean you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're in the wrong place. You've accepted Jesus, but you've kind of gone off on your own. You're not where God wants you to be. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ. Today could be that day. As the worship team leads us, respond if the Spirit is leading.